What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
Dude, I love that fucking desk mount.
Oh, which, yeah, yeah, this thing?
The one that's weighted. I'm like pointing at the screen like an idiot. The one that's weighted instead of clipping onto the side. Yeah, the arm connected to the microphone is what I'm talking about.
Oh, dude, you know what else we got here? We got this. We got the gong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I saw first.
Here, Liz, you can say hi.
Hello.
Yeah, talking to this.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Liz. Nice to meet you.
Liz, you know what they say?
What?
They say that men fall in love with their eyes and women fall in love with their ears.
I had to think about that for a second. That makes sense.
That's why girls wear makeup and boys tell lies.
You notice the canon setting.
Oh, wow. I so wish Josh could hear that.
I can a little bit. I just heard the gong. That's all I heard.
How often do you use your gong?
You know, we do it on our podcast. When someone says something awesome, we give it the gong.
Hell yeah. I'm going to have to put that on my Instagram story.
Last week, we had a six gong show.
Gong.
Yeah, we had a six gong show last week. We just had this afternoon, we had a zero gong show. The guy said nothing awesome, so we didn't even give him a single gong.
Did he know that like the gong hit was like an option? Like, did he feel defeated? Or?
No, he didn't even get there.
Wow. I feel so honored that I got a gong hit within like the first 10 seconds.
Well, I told you, men fall in love with their eyes, women fall in love with their ears.
Yeah, that's why Josh hired me, and then we ended up dating, and now.
Oh my God, is it like that? You know, I've proposed to my assistant a couple times, but she says no. So.
Oh.
I know.
Going for it.
Yeah, we'll get her eventually.
Yeah. How long has she worked for you?
Two and a bit years.
Yeah, she's got
it. It's okay. We wait for the right moment.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Quite a few gong hits a day.
No. We haven't even given her one gong.
Oh, you're holding out. Okay.
Yeah, you gotta wait.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't just want to like blow your load right up front. You gotta wait.
Oh my gosh, you're funny. I like it.
Okay, right. we better get the show going because otherwise we're gonna run out of time.
Let's get it going.
Yep. Okay. Nice to meet you guys. Have fun.
Okay. Bye bye. Okay, J Dog, we getting this show on the road?
Oh, I'm already recording, brother.
All right.
I like rolling with it instead of being like, here is the start, here is the middle, here is the finish. I like having conversations with people. You really do sound good, though. Like, I don't throw out audio equipment compliments as easily as I imagine.
Thanks, man. We should just call in.
All right, but what the fuck about the gong? Because I was like legitimately interested in like, wait, why is there a gong on your desk? And then Liz is like, oh, let me say hi. And then I like got booted from my own show for like 5 minutes. And
I think you should use that. You should use that as your B-roll. Like, I think that'd be a good social post.
I'm impressed you started thinking. This is impressive.
Liz getting the gong.
Liz getting gonged. No, legitimately, that was the only thing I could hear out of the beats when I was like sitting next to her because she literally took my headset. The only thing I could hear out of your whole conversation was you gonging her. So what is the significance of that thing?
I joke. I say the gong says respect the grind. I think it says good luck in Chinese or something. And we got a big sales.
I don't even know what language it is.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares? It's a respect the grind gong. And when someone says something awesome on my show, they get them the gong. And everybody loves that. Everything says cool. We're going to have like a sound effect thing, but we have a guy at the store buying that right now. So we're not totally there, but we got the gong today. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So I had an insurance business. I actually have an insurance business, but whenever we close a contract, we had a Staples That Was Easy button and it was in the lobby.
Oh.
And business exploded back in like 2010, 2009. And literally you just hear 30, 40 times a day, that was easy, that was easy, that was easy.
And nice.
Like, three contracts come in at a time and like our receptionists were like contemplating fucking jumping out the window. So I think eventually we closed so many that we like killed the that was easy button. Liz said she bought another one.
Ran out of batteries.
Maybe. Yeah, we didn't. I don't know if we. Do I sell my fucking visitor pass on?
Okay. That's cool.
I just came from a fundraiser, and this thing where it's called the Fun Run at my son's school. He's 10, and you get people to donate per lap. Each lap you run, so it's like $1 pledge per lap, $2 per lap. He's been the top earner in the school the last like 4 years, or maybe this year will be the fourth. We'll see if he gets it again.
Wow.
And this thing is so fucking hectic. It's so, so intense. And we just came from that. So we're like dehydrated and sweaty, and like we're like helping the kids do it. And you have to like mark their shirts and like all this shit. And we're all involved because Noah's like all about it. So we're like, podcast, we have a meeting, we have an interview. And yay, Noah ran, Noah won. Give him a quick hug, give him, you know, high fives, pictures, and then sprinted over here. So that was what the visitor pass was about.
Nice. So
we're getting the cardio in and fundraising in and teaching Noah some shit in the process. High five. But we're not here to talk about Noah or Liz or the gong. I wanted to actually, one more thing about the gong is when we used to sign up new stores for Rev Labs, we have a supplement company over here, as I'm sure you may have had somebody hand you on a piece of paper and may or may not have read. And whenever we would sign up a new store circa like 2013, was carrying our supplements, we had a bell, and it was like a legit bell, and we'd like ring it like as if it was like a car dealership or something, right? That's actually where I stole it from, is like my days selling cars when I was like 19.
Yeah, bro, we got the ship bell next door. It's a ship bell.
How big is it? Show me with your hands.
It's like for a ship.
Yes.
I guess like a little ship, not like a cruise ship, but legit, it's pretty fucking loud.
Yeah, that would need a bigger bell. A cruise ship would need a bigger bell. But yeah, that's like the size of this bell. And then when Vitamin World, which was our biggest account, went bankrupt, I threw a beer bottle at the bell and knocked it off the wall and broke it. And that was the end of the bell. But I'm re-inspired by your gong. Boom, baby. God, it gets the adrenaline fucking surging. I got gonged.
Bro, right there. The beer bottle hitting the bell.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's worth a gong.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't really give a shit how successful or how old we get. I refuse to grow up. And that gong is a very helpful little like abuse of the fact that like I made it to the big boy desk and I'm the one that gets to make noises. So pronounce your full name for me.
Stefan, rhymes with Effin, Arnio.
Stefan, cool. The Stefan Stefan thing gets confusing to me.
It's brutal, man. Try living with it. It's a disease.
You never know if it's like the soft or the hard A. You know, so I'm like, hey, and like every time, like if you were to split it down the middle, like you have a 50-50 chance if it's Stefan or Stefan. I get it wrong like
100. You get Stefan. Stefan. There's a million ethnicities on that.
Yeah, that would be if you're like Scandinavian, like Alexander Gustafsson. I love
which that. I am.
Are you? Where are you from?
Yeah, I got the Swedish passport and Canadian passport. So from Canada, but my dad's Swedish. So I got the Swedish passport.
Swedish.
Yeah.
That almost sounded German. Dude, I'm kind of interested to hear from you. I like to like run down people's bulleted resume. And by the way, your PR company is legit as hell. Can I give them a shout?
Sure. Yeah, they're awesome, man.
I was asking Liz. If it comes from Kayla, I think Liz just automatically approves it.
She's good.
Like I think she approves like a more percentage of anyone that they send us, because the way they package your little like, this is what else he's done and this is what else he's done, it makes it really easy for me and Liz and like anyone behind the curtain to understand this is why this guy is cool.
Right.
Kayla, you're the man.
Yeah, yeah. Kayla's the woo man.
The woo man. Stefan rhymes with Effin. Not Stefan, not Stefan. Something that jumped out at me is how many books you've written, and you're a young ass dude.
I can write a book pretty fast.
I kind of want to, dude, so that's what I actually wanted to start with. Because I know when I asked what the number one thing is that you're excited about. You mentioned the new book, which obviously is a thing for people to get excited about. Hard times create strong men. I want to know, before we get into you telling me about the book and why you're excited and what you're trying to do with it and what that process looks like, I want to know what the book writing process is like for you. You said you can write one pretty fast. How does it work when you're approaching it?
Yeah. So my goal, I wrote this down years ago, is I want to write 20 books in my life. I said, I want to write 20 books.
I like that.
You should write like six books. Well, the Hard Times is 634 pages, I think. So it's a serious book.
Wow.
But I said, I want to write 20 books. I've always been a writer. When I was 12, I wrote my first little novel. And then I destroyed it, as a lot of artists do. They make art, destroy their own art, move on. So I wrote down years ago, I said, I want to write 20 books. 2013, I wrote my first book, Money, People, Deal. And it was kind of by accident.
What is it? Money what?
Money, People, Deal.
Yeah.
So it's all about putting money, people, and deals together. And I wrote that book I was blogging every day because I had to raise money for my real estate company. So I started writing a blog every day. I'd read something, write a blog, read something, write a blog, go to a seminar, write a blog. And I did that for 120 days. And after 120 days, people were asking me to speak on their stages because they're reading my blog every day. It's like 2011, 2012. And next thing you know, I took a little book writing course for $3,000 with a guy. And it was like, learn how to write your own book. So I have an English degree. I'm kind of cheating too. Like, I have an English degree. I've studied writing. I studied poetry. And I was a songwriter and all this stuff. And then I took this book writing course. And it was $3,000. And then I bought it and I put it on the shelf. The shelf help. I said, I'm never writing a book. Forget it. And then somehow I put this book together. I remember I had a spreadsheet with like 40 names on it. That was my list at the time. And I printed the book up. I was living at my mom's house way back then. And all these books showed up on the deck. And I started selling those books. And here we are several years later now. And I have no book. It's going to be done. Hard Times Create Strong Men. That's coming out in print in like a month from now. And I've got the next, I don't know, 5-6 books in my pipeline planned out. I got the covers done. I got the outline. And when I sit down in the chair, man, I can do at least 3,000 words in 2 hours. So I can shred books. Like, I can just write like a banshee. And it's a talent. I have a talent for writing. My prose, my writing's pretty good.
Wait, are banshees good writers?
I don't know, bro. I don't know. But they scream, man. Banshees scream. So I write.
It sounded very, very like aggressive. I was like, whoa, there's adrenaline behind that statement for sure. But then I don't really know that banshees are super strong writers. So I think that simile, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it totally works. I mean, I guess we can say, like, I don't know. I write like a factory writer, like maybe like a Stephen King or a L. Ron Hubbard or some of these crazy people.
I like it.
You just
like
stay in bed. Oh, Hubbard, man. You know, he did 3,000 words a day for like 30 years or 35 years. So that's like 35 million words published.
Holy shit. I did not know that.
I know. I'm like, dude, I've got a whole curriculum behind me here and I'm not even close to a million words. And like my course, my encyclopedia is 330,000 words. So it's like 7-8 books. And then I got 5 books published. We're not even at a million. And Ron Hubbard did 35 million words in his life. So he's the number one most published guy, head and shoulders above everybody else. Not even close. Nobody can touch him.
Have you read L. Ron Hubbard's stuff?
Some of it. I read Dianetics. I read Problems of Work. You know, some of the like little beginner little books. I never got into his fiction. He does a ton of fiction.
Yeah.
He interests me. He's an interesting person. Like, I think he's a neat guy. And yeah. It's neat how I read the story about how he discovered Dianetics. He was curing people of their problems with this. And then he went to the universities and he was like, hey, man, can I put this in your university? And they're like, no, sorry. And then he's like, okay, well, I guess I better make my own religion because science won't accept me. So he just did his own thing. Like, he's a rebel, man. So good for him.
He falls into the crazy asshole category for sure. But not in a totally bad way. I think there's a ton to take, like, however you feel about beliefs of Scientology or Dianetics, or you take them piecemeal or like some of it or dislike some of it. There's a lot to be taken just like from L. Ron Hubbard as a dude to try to make something mainstream. It doesn't work, and then goes and does it in a completely different way with full and complete, utter, like, reckless abandon and commitment, you know?
Dude, the dude's a certified badass, man. He's been dead since 86, and they do $500 million of sales every year tax-free. So nobody does that, dead or alive. Like, he's a certified badass, that guy.
Yeah. I think that was the single biggest win in the Church of Scientology history, is like getting certified by the government as a religion. I guess they're not a 501c3, but they get a tax shelter of 100%. Tip of the hat to you guys, Scientology. So, not that I have to put you in one box, give me a sense of like how you classify yourself. Like, are you an artist? Are you an academic? Are you like the business guy and like real estate investor? Are you more into the philosophy of it? Like, obviously, you don't have to be just one thing. And the dynamic between like having an English degree and also having investing experience and also taking a couple of shots to the groin proverbially in business, like, makes for a really dope stew of like entrepreneurial conversation.
Oh yeah. Well, I had business cards with different things on them. It'd be like real estate investor or whatever. And I just got my business card. It just says Renaissance Man and a phone number. No email, no website, my name, phone number, Renaissance Man. And a Renaissance Man is a man of many talents. So, you know, I'm into selling and teaching selling. I'm into real estate. I'm into art. I really think I'm an artist, man. I made my living on art for a bit, where I painted and sold and painted and sold. I'm like, hey, let's go out. This girl I wanted to date, I said, hey, let's go out and we'll paint. Cause you're in art school. So like, you're an artist, let's paint. So I went and bought all the art stuff. It was so expensive. I couldn't believe it. Way more expensive than you think. And we start painting, and next thing you know, we're in the shower together. It's great. And then what happens is
the shower was off. It was way less sexy than you might have
had. Yeah. We're in the shower. So anyways, it was awesome. It was awesome painting with this girl, and I ended up not working out with her at all. So I went out and picked up my painting. I was like, well, I want to pick up my painting. So I went and picked it up. And I said to my friends, we were in private equity selling investments. We're all 6'4" wearing suits, like
as most painters are.
Yeah. So I said, hey, let's go sell this art tonight. So we went out and we sold the art that night. I think I sold my painting for $40. So I got my $40 and I went out and I got more art supplies and painted and sold and painted and sold. And I ended up making a living for like 6 months on art before I got into real estate. Then I made $32,000 flipping a house. And I said, well, I can sell a painting for $1,000, or I can make $32,000 on a house. Well, forget painting. You know, it's still an art form. It's a different art form. But I think you picked it up there, Josh. I'm an artist, man. I'm in there with Hard Times Create Strong Men. That's a philosophy book, really. But yeah, man, art, I think everybody's an artist, and life conditions you to not be an artist. So you got to beat that and break that so you can continue to create.
Man, I freaking wish Liz was still in here. We are debriefing. I don't know why, but it like landed when you're like, dude, you nailed it. I'm like, yes, I like nailing it. Gong me, motherfucker. You let it go. Thank you. Fuck. God, you should not have to be told to do these things. You're supposed to be the hoverer over the gong. Okay, more than the mic audio. More than getting the good content, the gong is number one responsibility.
I got you. We don't hand out gongs here. You got to earn it.
I felt like I earned that one. You are a dynamic motherfucker. And I, without putting you in a box, thank you. That's what she said.
Well, I did it on my show. My show, you get the gong. This is your show. So you say hit the gong. We'll hit it for your show, man.
Deal. So two things. Number one, my dad said he started flipping single family residential real estate here in San Diego in the 70s. And somewhere in the late 80s, I think he moved his business to Texas, buying multifamily real estate. And, you know, it's a buy and hold strategy. He rides the market out for a long time on very big deals that are very underpriced and rehabs, you know, the entire neighborhood and all that good stuff. He's like, it's the same amount of effort selling a house as it is selling a duplex, as it is selling a complex.
Oh, yeah.
If you spend your time doing bigger things, your time becomes more valuable. And the more valuable your time becomes, the more you have to spend it doing bigger things if you want that value to continue to increase. And he's probably said it about 50,000 times. This actually happened because we got in like literally almost a physical fight. I launched an insurance business. My dad and I partnered on a real estate venture in 2011 in Las Vegas, buying and holding houses. And we're actually liquidating that right now, but I used to be a complete control freak two businesses ago when I knew very little about leadership and was intuitively doing most of my stuff with my staff. And I wouldn't let anybody touch the books. And I did 100% of the accounting and the transactions and the check writing. I was like fresh out of college with a business degree. I went from poor as hell to pretty well off decently quick with, I think it was Andrew Carnegie says it takes brains, balls, and a couple of lucky breaks to be successful. And there's no exception to that. If you are outrageously wealthy, you have to have those three things. I think my first brush with entrepreneurial success was way more lucky break than it was brains or balls. Obviously, there are elements of all three of those, but I was just right place, right time, doing a business that helped homeowners recover money for the cleanup of soot and ash after a wildfire. And in 2007, we had San Diego, where I was born and raised, biggest wildfire in the history of San Diego. While I was doing a business helping homeowners recover money for fires for an entrepreneurship project myself. So
nice.
I had like 13 people running around helping me by the time I graduated college, 7 months later, 6 months later or whatever. So, you know, I went from like absolutely nothing in the gas tank, no reserves, to a business that was very like cash intensive pretty quick. And I wanted to make sure everything was going to the right place. You know, it takes a little while to get out of the mindset of like, did the gas station charge me the right amount? You know, did they, you know, charge me twice for that thing that I bought? You know, I heard it beep twice. Did it go, you know what I mean? You're like checking the receipt into like, you're moving very, very large sums of money. I held on to like the nitpickiness, I think a little for longer than maybe was healthy. And my dad, when we partnered and we started to grow this thing, used to come into my office. And when I was doing QuickBooks on Thursdays, nobody was allowed, Thursdays and Fridays, but nobody was allowed to come in. You know, and it would be like door locked in accounting mode, not in president mode. And he used to come, and one time he came in and spun my chair around and I had my back to the window. And he's like, we've had this conversation before. Go hire a bean counter to do that. No offense. no offense to any accountants or beans or people that count them. And I'm like, not now, Dad. I'm like, I'm halfway through. I'm down to have this argument with you when I'm finished. And he's like, no, we're having this argument right the fuck now. And he comes and stands behind my chair. My dad's a very powerful, intelligent, like wildly successful and charismatic dude. And when he wants to raise his horsepower, that's like the least of his shortcomings, is having the ability to like intimidate and expand his energy and his presence. And he like grabs my fucking chair. I'm like hovered over it doing my like QuickBooks, right? You know, like doing our checks and making sure, you know, our debits and credits balance and our ledger is neat. And he like grabs my chair and like spins it around, like almost like knocking me out of it, and faces me towards the window, which is behind me. And he's like pinning my chair with my knees against the wall so I can't like get out of the seated position. And he's like, you are the most expensive accountant you have ever employed times 5,000. Every single second, you are not facing this direction and looking out the window, dreaming shit up and pulling impossible shit into existence, because you are doing something in the business instead of dreaming and directing and leading for the business. You're not just selling yourself short on what you can be making. You are depriving all of your human beings that are infinitely better than you at their thing. You are depriving them of the one reason they work for you instead of the other way around. And I don't give a fuck if I have to sit here and physically hold you out the window and physically stand between you and your fucking QuickBooks. Your job is to dream, and then it's to execute. It's not to do it yourself. And obviously my adrenaline spiked and I was you know, I trained a lot of MMA when I was a kid and was still in my, like, overcompensating, always the youngest guy in the room, want to be more accepted than I am phase. So when somebody's, like, physically doing something, my adrenaline goes, like, I'm going to fucking rip you apart. I don't know that I've ever told that story, and in retrospect, it's so, so, so true. And what you said reminded me of that story. We're conditioned to not be artists. And my son Noah has a little bit of a hard time socially because he's like me. He's a very, very sensitive guy. But he's also smart and good looking and has like kind of a sharp, witty sense of humor. So people play hard back with him, but he feels a lot. He's in like a little bit of a weird spot socially where he hasn't like hit it down his stride. When I show up, I volunteer for like different sports days and like, you know, gave all the kids like Rev Labs lanyards so they can like hold their name badges while they run and stuff. And I'm like kind of an inappropriate dad. I'm a young dad. So like all the kids think I'm super cool, right? So when I go and I'm like interfacing with Noah, all the kids like flock and like herd around us. And like I'm taking selfies and they're like flexing and doing that whole thing. And it gives Noah these like bursts of like attention or popularity. And we were in the car, and this is why I said I wish Liz was still in here, because literally she used the words, you have an artist's spirit to me. And people think you're a businessman or a meathead or a numbers guy or an analytics junkie or a marketer or like all these other things, and you're not. You're just a creative soul that wears a bunch of different fucking hats. And now you just used this almost exactly the same verbiage to explain yourself, which I love. It's one of those like universal things where it's like giving me chills a little bit, where I'm like, okay, thank you, God. I get it. I'm in the right spot at the right time doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's like one of those little indications that we are where we're supposed to be. And she was saying where your beauty, meaning me, comes from and your power and your strength, but you also found a way to be able to embrace it. And I think it's really important that we don't teach Noah to be tough, that we teach Noah to embrace that side of him, no matter what it makes him experience, because it will make him be able to hold on to the magic that is like when you're able to speak for hours at a time or write for hours at a time or create these things that are impossible. You have to be in touch with your creativity, which isn't necessarily the way most people view creativity, right? Mm-hmm. So 10 points on that amazing, amazing listening. I know that was tangenty, but you sparked something in me that just made me kind of fucking dump or fell a little bit, as we say in Yiddish, dump a little bit, like just flow. How do you protect the artist in somebody? And what do you mean everybody are artists, but are conditioned not to be?
I think the human brain is three things. There's a monkey, there's a reptile, and there's a god in the human brain, and they're all fighting for space.
Is the monkey a banshee, and how well does he write?
I don't think the monkey writes well, bro. I mean, it's fight or flight, fear, flock. That's all the monkey does.
Let's walk through these slowly, because I've never heard this, and I like the way you're breaking it down right now. So there's a monkey, reptile, and a god inside of everybody?
Yeah, so the human brain is three parts. The base is the reptile brain, and that's your limbic system, and that's what makes you breathe and want to have sex and eat and sweat and do all those things. And then the midbrain is the mammalian brain, and that's where you have your emotions, you know, your fight, flight, flock, freeze. And then the top of your brain, your neocortex, is your thinking brain. You know, think and grow rich. That's where you imagine things and you're an artist and you can paint and draw and sing and lie and do all these beautiful and horrible things all at once. And I think that those three things are always fighting for custody. They're fighting for control. And the reptile has the base of the brain. It's got the brain stem. So when people are under stress, the reptile takes over, and then maybe the mammal, the monkey, takes over. And very rarely do we get to the god. The god in most people doesn't come out very often. And that's where
what you're saying right now. I'm fucking really, really, really liking you.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. And what I do is I go fast in the jungle. So I'm going to the jungle this winter for 40 days. I'm going to fast again.
That's
and weird. Like I went to the jungle this last year for 18 days, just living on water only. And I came out with two books. So I wrote Hard Times Create Strong Men in 11 days. Cause I was very clear. I could get to that God part of the brain. And then the other book I wrote was The Close on Selling. And so I've written three books this year, and when you can access the God and when you can talk to God and you can download the infinite intelligence, the infinite information out there, that's how you really become a creative genius. And what happens is all the bullshit in our lives brings out the monkey and the reptile. And those two things, when they're running the roost, you're not creating shit. You're creating nothing. So, you know, how do you get to that higher intelligence? You got to take all the crap out of your life. I go to the jungle. I like the jungle down in Costa Rica. I do that every year. Other people go to nature, the forest, the lake. You know, even people like, you look at Jesus, Aristotle, Hitler, Gandhi, anybody who's done amazing big things in their life, good or bad.
I like that you put Hitler in the same category as Aristotle and Gandhi.
And Jesus and Moses. I mean, all these guys all did big things, right? And they went to, they're either in prison by themselves at some point, or they fasted. And what they did is they went and found clarity in the fast, or clarity being isolated, and that clarity brought them their work. You know, whether it's good or bad, I mean, you know, guys like Jesus, he's a big influencer in the Western world. Guys like Hitler, he lost the war, so we say he's evil. But if he won the war, we'd be sprechen Sie Deutsch right now. We'd be speaking German. So depending on whether you win or lose, these people all access that same power, that godlike power we have in ourselves to create by taking things away. And it's usually in a jail cell, or it's up on a mountain fasting, or it's in the forest. It's when you take all that crap away and let the monkey and the reptile go, and it's just you and God, that's where you can really start to create.
I'm a really busy person, both like literally and in my mind. There have been times where I've been incredibly isolated. When I started Rev Labs, I was in, you know, I gave up the ocean view, actually the same view that I'm now looking at again, which is completely hilarious and ironic that I'm like three office changes later and I'm back at my desk.
Mm-hmm. But
it was a 10 by 10, four white walls, stealing internet connection, and thinking about how I'm going to help people because I didn't want to do insurance and didn't want to do real estate anymore. But I think if I was doing that at a lake, I would go fucking insane.
Why is that?
You know, I'm constantly told, like, by my mom and by my brother, I guess friends too, that you have to slow down. That you have to, like, you know, take the time to enjoy it. And when I'm running hard and when I'm communicating with people and when I'm on stage and when I'm doing a bunch of things and when I'm closing deals, I feel very at peace. Mm-hmm. When the world around me, like, slows too much, like, I need noise. Like, I can't sleep if there's not noise around me. Like, I need to hear, like...
But Josh, that's where you got to go, man. That's the next part of your development, is dealing with the noise and the silence. And when you can get the silence to silence rather than silence to noise, like when I go on the fast, man, there's like 30 people there. And some people can't listen to their own brain. Like, their own brain themselves drives them nuts. So, like, you see people lose their mind. You see some people vomit every day. Some people have like crazy diarrhea. Some people, they just go and just socialize and yammer because they don't want to deal with their own shit.
What are they shitting out if they don't eat anything on a fast?
Well, you got 36 feet in your intestine. So there's like 36 feet of shit in you. Some people have like 30 pounds of shit in them. It takes, dude, if you fast for 30 days, you're still shitting stuff. Like, you are so full of shit, like literally, you will just shit and shit and shit. And then what happens is your body starts.
I love when you talk dirty.
I love it, baby. And then when you render down your fat too, I mean, your body's eating its fat, it's eating its garbage, and people are just shitting and puking. And like, a lot of people don't like listening to themselves and they don't like dealing with themselves. And I think that, you know, I'm not coaching you or anything, but I'm like, no, you, man, I'm crazy.
Go for it, bro.
I'm crazy like you. I'm always negotiating, selling, on the phone, going, doing a deal, doing a project, writing something, whatever. And that's where I get the brilliance of being able to do a 634-page book, write that book in 11 days. It's just clarity, right? And that's being able to deal with all that stuff that I don't want to deal with. But then you go into the jungle or you go somewhere and you pull all that back and you get right down to the real essence and you sort out some major stuff, man. Whenever I go there, I always level up hard because you take a step back and you go, shit, man, I got to stop this. I got to do something different. I got to do it. I got to transform because you know, it's like Blockbuster, man. Blockbuster, no matter how much they blockbustered, could never become Netflix. If you look at Kodak, no matter how much they sold cameras, they could never become Instagram. But if somebody at the top went out to the jungle and thought about it.
I'm glad you didn't say Polaroid.
Yeah, well, Polaroid is still kind of cool.
They could never be even less relevant and retro.
That's what I'm saying, man. If somebody went out to the jungle and gave it a good think, like in Think and Grow Rich, they would have transformed. But nobody did that.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, you got to be looking out the window. You got to be feeling. And
you got to look inwards. It's inwards. It's in here. What is inside of you? And you got to get that monkey, the reptile, and the god sorted out so the god can create. And that's what that artist piece is, and that artistry. And kids, they're born artists, and then they go in the world and they have to go to the school system and they shut that god off and they shut it off and the monkey takes over and the reptile takes over. And then you got somebody who's not doing so good.
Man, what you're saying is so beautiful. Liz is going to fucking shit in her panties and we're not going to make her fast, but she just duly noted. I made a note here, 36 feet of shit in you. when she hears that we're talking about being an artist and like God consciousness and protect, because we're just talking about facilitating this and protecting this in Noah.
Well, and it might be too late, man. By age 7 is when that's all figured out. Usually like age 7 is where his personality's done. So whatever he is at 7, that's what he is. But I mean, you can train him or whatever, but age 7, that's like, that's what a guy is at 7. Yeah,
people say that, and it might be right with like psychological foundation or tendencies, mm-hmm. but at least that's with the nature and nurture, like locks in a certain amount, but we're fluid beings, dude. Like,
oh yeah.
Like I'm a very different guy than I was 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you see people that, you know, are drug addicts and then get sober, or are hating life and then find religion, or, you know, are super on purpose and then their life falls apart. Right. So there's like different ways of being, and a lot of that comes from a lot of your experiences, and you know, this equals good, this equals bad, this gives me validation, this creates pain, right? And how you classify those things. So I don't think we're so much, look dude, if people were like the guy they were going to be by 7 100%, we could stop parenting at 7. Be like, okay, go start paying your mortgage, go develop some skills, right?
Well, then there's training and conditioning. I mean, when I was 7, man, and this is the most clear I've ever been. When I was 7, I wanted to be an inventor. That's what I told my mom and dad. I said, Mom and Dad, I want to be an inventor. Here I am inventing. I'm so happy. When I was 16, I thought I wanted to be a rock star. Well, that's just bullshit. Rock star is bullshit. I really wanted to be an inventor. And I had the biggest Lego town. And, you know, what am I doing now? Collecting real estate and inventing shit. So at 7, I knew all that. You know, I intrinsically knew, but somehow got off the path, you know, and had to come back to how to be an inventor. And unfortunately, there's no way to be an inventor. It's just impossible. There's no school. You just got to do it, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think you explained the way to be an inventor, which is that God consciousness. And I think God is an interesting word for it. Because,
there you go.
You just waved it.
Dude, should we do it? Should we do it? Oh!
Nailed it! Fuck yeah. I'm so happy about the guest gong.
The guest gong. Yeah, bro.
I don't know that like, I hope this ends up on your show too. And I don't know what pieces you can use, and you're going to send me your video and I'm going to send you my audio of both sides, or maybe you're recording both sides of the audio. I'm not sure. You have a tech guy in there. We said hello earlier.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Well, you know, I should probably have you on my show. We'll do it legit. I got like a format we go through. So maybe you should come on my show and we'll just do it and we'll see how many gongs you get.
Cool. Maybe I can fucking learn a few things, because Jesus Christ, I could not have less of a format. I don't know if you can tell that. But you know what? Before starting a podcast, I didn't listen to a ton of podcasts, and I kind of got pushed into it, third party pressure, and way more than Instagram. You know, I have, I don't know, like just south of 100. Randomly, I lost like 600 followers recently. I don't know if it was like a sweep of like fake accounts or what, but I think I'm like pretty mediocre on IG. But sitting here and talking to people with a fucking microphone, like there could not be a platform that is more built for what I enjoy doing. Not being like a face guy. Like I'm legitimately taking taking notes on what you're saying, not for like a repost, not for the content, but like to internalize and to think about like in my life. And to be able to get to do that and then the audience be able to assimilate whatever piece of the data into their like model of the world, for some fucking reason, it's clicking really, really, really hard. And around, I think around episode like 4 or 6, I don't remember which one it is. You know, we started like hitting top 20 in iTunes.
Wow.
And I literally think I checked like 2 days ago, I was literally the number one business podcast in the UK, which is super random because although I have a lovely ex-wife from Manchester, England, I haven't been to the UK. I like don't have any particular connection there. And like Canada, UK, and US, the three biggest English speaking markets in the world, is clicking super well. So it's funny because originally, like, you're like, you'll come on my show, we'll do it properly. My initial knee jerk is like, fuck yeah. Like, he has a format, like he said, maybe I can learn something about how to properly podcast. And then the other part of me goes, wait, you don't know shit about podcasting and your shit's hitting super hard. So maybe you don't mess with something that's working. And I think neither of those, neither of those approaches are right. But I'm interested to like at least observe and be a part of another way of doing it besides for like, hey, does this thing plug into here? Okay, cool. Let's start talking, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, there's beauty in both of it. You know, it's just, I think on my show, we got hit questions. I like to ask everybody just because, you know, it's like, what's this guy going to say to this? It's kind of cool. But then it's good to let it run sometimes, you know, where is this thing going? Like, we got pretty deep there, man. And a lot of the stuff we're talking about is in my book, Hard Times. It's about men in the world, and it's hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times.
Ha. So that's a cycle of run through that there. Again. I like that a lot. Does that mean that our whole generation is weak?
We're in the decline of the cycle. So like, we're ready for hard times create strong men. Like, we are weak right now. The hard times are coming.
So I followed you, but you said it fast, and a lot of people are like driving and like following a GPS as they're listening to this. I love you.
Listening. I'll say it again. Yeah. So hard times create strong men. That's the name of the book. So it goes hard times create
World
strong
War
men.
II.
Strong men create good times. That's the 60s. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. So what happened to me was I came back from my fast.
Motherfucker. I am enjoying the shit out of you right now.
Bro, you're going to have to get a copy of the book, I guess. You'll like it. It's 600 pages of this, what we're talking about right now. It's real shit, you know.
Write me a nice sentiment. Like, handwrite that shit like you know me and we care about each other since I have the fuck on here. And let me know where you want to spike your sales if you're an Amazon guy, if you're like a run to your own funnels type guy. And I will go show some love wherever you would like me to.
Dude, I appreciate that.
I can just throw an affiliate link in the show notes and we'll blow up your downloads.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
How much does your ebook cost?
The ebook, I think, is $10. So if they go to hardtimesstrongmen.com.
Out of the question. hardtimesmakestrongmen.com.
Hardtimesstrongmen.com.
Hardtimesstrongmen.com. I'm writing that down.
So we were talking about what happens. I came back from the jungle and I came back to my company. I had 8 employees at the time. And I sit down at the table and we're doing our meeting and they start, the young men, 21-year-old, 22-year-old guys go, I don't like you. You're mean. I don't like working here. This isn't my dream. I'm 32. So I'm 32. And these guys are like, these guys are 21 and I'm listening to this horse shit that these kids are saying. And I said, what the fuck, you guys? And one of my employees came in at late, like at 10:45 instead of 9 a.m. The other one came in at like 10:30. And I was just like, what is going on? So I started talking to these kids and they just were bitching. I got in the book, I got like 14 bullshit things that these kids said. And I'm listening to this. I'm like, I'm your employer. And I had to give them the how to be a man talk, like the boys. I had to give them a how to be a man
talk. Give me that talk. Give me a little bit of that talk. I showed up an hour and 45 minutes late and was like, yeah, I had my shoelace broke. And then...
Oh my God. I can't even. You know what? The book is the talk. I sat down and I gave 6 hours of talking to these boys of how to be a man. And I got so pissed, I went home and I started writing. And that's what hard times create strong men is. So it's what is a man in money, sex, religion, politics. So how to be a man in those four things and be a man that people want, you know, on their team, not some pussy, not some feeling shit. Like, this is what worked in history. So I got all these historical examples of how men were men. They protect their tribe. They protect their women. They protect their family. Like, they go to work, they work, they produce. Like, this is what men do. And not this snowflake bullshit that kids...
Yeah, I'm enjoying the rant and I like don't want to stop it, but I also have a question that can't really wait. Is this built for like men, like human beings with a penis, or is it unisex concepts and you're just...
No, bro, 100% not gender neutral. It says right on the book, not gender neutral, warning, this book's offensive, rated R for relevant. This thing's got explicit lyrics, warnings, everything. Like, if you're a snowflake, don't read this. Just don't even bother. This is the shit that your dad would say to you, but he'd say to you, but he wouldn't say to your sister. So it's like the dad to son talk in the garage, not the dad to daughter talk. He won't say this shit to his daughter, but he'll say it to his son in the garage when they're working on the Mustang.
I've never worked on a car in my life, but I can imagine what that would sound like.
Well, exactly, man. That's what the talk is. It's not feelings. It's not people or gender neutral or strong women. Nobody cares about strong people. It's strong men. People want strong men and good women. They don't want good men and strong women. That's a reversal of the masculine and feminine virtues. So no, it is not gender neutral. There's nothing about that.
What do you mean people don't want strong women?
Okay, so let me give you a choice.
What is people, like society?
Yeah, so okay, so like, let's just imagine this. Okay, so you have Liz. She's a nice lady. She seems real nice. Would you rather have a strong Liz or a good Liz? Like, you probably, like, men don't go out there being like, I'm going to find myself a strong woman tonight. That's not what men want. We're not going and trying to find women who can, you know, do all these crazy things and be built like muscly, and we don't want them out making a bunch of money and all this stuff. We want good women, like women who are good stuff. On the flip side, women want strong men, not good men. They don't want nice little boys who are, you know, nice guys finish last kind of thing. They want strong men. They want the men. They want men who can produce, who can work, who can lead, who can do the hard jobs that they don't want to do. Because if you have good, nice, soft boys, they're not going to be able to do the hard jobs that men have to do. Because men do all the hard jobs, man. The straight commission jobs, the ice road trucker jobs, the king crab fishing jobs, the forestry jobs where people die. Men do all the hard jobs, and you need strong men for that. Whereas you want good women and strong men. That's masculine and feminine virtue. And that's just in history, that's how it's worked throughout, you know, thousands of years of humanity. It's been strong men and good women.
Dude, I think it's funny because I am a little bit of I view myself as a traditionalist, like kind of in the sense of like, I think a lot of pieces of the nuclear family post-World War II were very successful for like reasons of the pieces fit instead of a constant jockeying for position.
Super successful, man. So like economically, everything, we've taken that away and now we're on a losing streak. Like everything is down.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? Like I could not fucking disagree with you more. And I wanted to let you finish your point before I said that, because I wanted to hear it through fruition. Like, I think the sexiest trait in a woman, straight the fuck up, is competence. Like, I'm so attracted to someone that can track with me.
Right.
That, like, it brings out, I don't know if it's, like, the God part of me or the monkey part of me that is attracted to it, but I think the sexuality piece, or maybe not even fully like the sex part of it, but like the magnetism between people or what you want can work in both directions, right? Like a chick is stone cold fire, like hot as fuck. You know, you're gonna try to figure out all the reasons that you can like emotionally like her and spiritually why you guys are connected, and you know, you're going to try to climb that ladder because it's driven by the reptilian and monkey pieces of the sexual framework, just on that alone. And it may or may not be compatible. But I think on the other side of it, in business, when I'm launching something new, I don't try to be everything to everyone. I penetrate and then I radiate. And you need to pick your point of penetration. No pun intended. That's what she said. But when you're penetrating, you can also penetrate on an intellectual level and then work towards the sexual or work up to the spiritual. When you're penetrating, you can penetrate on a deeply connective level and in a God consciousness co-creating and work down to emotional, intellectual, and physical and sexual. So it can work like up or down the ladder. Like the reason Liz and I are together, I assure you, has nothing to do with her big Instagram following or tits or lovely blonde hair, all of which are great. She has been a massive, massive producer in my world and co-creator with me. And believe me, there's definitely elements where I'm like, Liz, be a good girl. Like, daddy's putting his fucking foot down with this one. Back off it. But if she didn't have that tiger in her, I couldn't be fucking a third of the guy that I am right now, because I have someone like watching my fucking six that has fought legal fights and raised money like a motherfucker. And okay, we're putting on like the fun, sexy, cool lifestyle vibe hat. Let's go do a fucking expo and like make a blow up version of you that's 14 feet tall and like take pictures and tag people on IG, right? Like, if I could choose between having a good Liz or a producing Liz, I would choose a producing Liz 1,000. Well,
the word wasn't producing though.
Okay,
the word was okay, look, strong. You can have a good woman or you can have a strong woman. And what I'm saying is you don't want someone like you, Josh. You're an alpha male. I know you are. And if she walked in and was alpha all the time, she would repel you like a magnet. And you'd be like, oh my God, I cannot deal with this. Probably. Most guys are like that. Like guys like me, guys like you, we're probably very similar dudes.
She's a very alpha female. It's just, but like.
But she's not an alpha male. She's, you know, what I'm saying is you want a reciprocal energy. You want an energy that fits with you, not the same thing. We always want an otherness. We want a compliment, you know. Ketchup and mustard, peanut butter and jelly. You don't want peanut butter on peanut butter and you don't want chocolate on chocolate. That's just doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm not speaking about your relationship, but whatever you are, you want a reciprocal for that. You don't want the exact same thing, because if you had a girl who was as rugged and alpha as you were, I know Liz isn't rugged and alpha. You might think she is, but she's not. I met her. I met her on the podcast. She's a sweetie, man. That's a nice girl. It's a good girl.
Kitty has fucking claws.
Of course Kitty has claws. That's why it's a cat, right? I mean, you're not saying we're going to take the claws out. You know, I'm not saying don't do anything, but usually feminine virtues are different than masculine virtues. Men have to be killers. Like if there was killing involved, you'd do the killing and she'd probably be at home cooking dinner and say, hey, how was the killing today? You say, let's not talk about it. You'd move on.
Yeah, right? There's hunters and there's gatherers. To be honest with you, I think Liz and I are a bad relationship example of like, we're not accurately indicative of the masses because we're both motherfucking hunters.
Right. Like, and that's a minority. 10% of the population's like that. The 10%'s like that. 10% gender. And then 80% is masculine man, feminine woman.
Say the breakdown again. I like that I have to slow you down to re-explain these things because I'm I'm catching them and I'm like, that's good enough to repeat. If I had a gong here, I'd be ringing it for you, motherfucker.
Thanks, bro. So Josh, it's 80% is masculine man, feminine woman. That's couples. And then 10% is that gender neutral, like you're kind of the same, like it's equal polarity. And then the other 10% is gender reversed, where it's like a masculine woman and a feminine man. So you know, if you're saying, oh, well, she's a killer like me, I don't think she is. I met her. Like, you might think she is, but I don't think she is. Like, I just met her in 2 minutes. Maybe I'm wrong, but
she's being charming and fluffy and playing the role of like, hi, how are you? Like,
right.
Up and being the pretty girl. When my back is ever turned, I mean, like, you should see this motherfucker in a deposition.
You should, right, see
her.
Right.
You should see her if anyone ever talks badly about any of her people. I mean, she like, you know, she'll pull her shake.
Well, women in general are vipers. I mean, you know, if you read the Lucifer Principle by Howard Bloom, he talks about how women are more fierce killers than men and they decapitate babies, bro. So like, that's just like all women. Like,
okay. So maybe I'm missing, I think that, wait, is that not contrary to what you're saying? Look, like if we're having an alpha contest between Liz and I, there's no fucking question. I'm more alpha out of the two.
Of course you are. Yeah, we all know that.
You know that.
Everybody knows that you're more alpha than Liz. And I'm saying that she's a feminine woman and you're a masculine man.
Why do you say that, just out of curiosity?
Because I know. I can read it. I mean, it's everything, man. It's your voice, your posture, directiveness. If you met yourself as a woman, you'd probably hate that woman. You'd be like, man, I can't. It's like meeting the same person. You ever meet that guy? You're like, this guy's the same guy as me. I can't stand this guy because you're both hitting the same vibe. You know, like you're on the same note. You're on the same color. You're like, bro, this is either going to be your best friend or your worst enemy. You're like, this guy's my rival because he's the same. And if you met the woman version.
I've wondered a bunch of times if I would like me. If I met myself and I was just in like a different fucking body or whatever, I've thought about that. I've never thought about it as a woman though. And I don't know if I would fuck me as a girl.
You probably wouldn't, man. You'd be like, no, thanks. I got to chill out. I got to go home. I can't deal with this. So that's my like hypothesis. Josh, I got to run to my next show, bro. Is there anything else we can do on this show?
Yeah, there is. I don't think I've ever had a guest tell me they have to leave. I would give you a song just for the fucking stones of that comment. Lord, sir. What do people do to live a more empowered life? An actionable step. It's just not philosophical unless it's attached to an action item.
Yeah, well, I put this in the book Hard Times. They say if you want to be a man, you got to own everything. So you got to own everything in your life, the good and the bad. And I think when you own it, you can change it. You can't change something you don't own. If you're a victim and you don't own your problems and you blame it on other people, you're never going to be empowered. You're never going to get anywhere and life's going to be horrible. So you might as well own the good and the bad. If you're fat, just say I'm fat. If you're mean, just say you're mean.
Yeah.
If you're broke, say you're broke. Own it and then you can change it.
So what else? Calling it what it is one thing, right? And it doesn't need to come with the good or the bad. It's like, so what, now what? So what is it? Just no good, no bad. Just call it like it is. And then now what? Like, so what am I going to do about it? Right. I agree with that. What is another example of owning it look like besides for being accurate?
Well, owning it, you know, like I said, if you're fat, just say I'm fat. I'm eating Oreos on the couch and I'm eating all this ice cream and milk or whatever, and I'm fat and I'm owning it. Okay, fine. That's one thing. Right. But you don't want to be having like dissonance in your mind where you're like, oh, such a clean diet and then go eat Oreos. That's going to create dissonance. Like, own it. You're either going to be, you know, you're either going to be a vegan or a meat eater, whatever. Don't be like vegan sometimes and meat eater other times. Like, just pick something and go with it. And if you want to change it, but have the integrity to stick with something long enough. You know what I mean? That's what I think is one of the biggest things, stick with it.
Dope. Stefan rhymes with FN. You're the man. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. As soon as I stop this recording, I'm going to give you my phone number and you have a next show that you have to get to, but we can exchange files. I'll pass you my strong and good Liz. That's scoring points.
For She's me. Amazing.
Yep. Totally amazing. Threesome points in the box. There you go. Da, da, da.
This guy's putting the alpha. He's keeping threesome points. Whoa. Whoa, bro.
Gong it, homie. plot twist, they're unlimited. So I'll send you this audio file. We can talk about me coming on yours, but I think there's some cool shit that we can do together. I'm a fan of yours. I'm really, really grateful that you took the time to come on the show, and I want to acknowledge you for calling it like you fucking see it. And
thank you.
Having a voice and not being afraid to say shit that I'm assuming a lot of people like and a lot of people don't like. And they say if you spot it, you got it. And I'm seeing a lot of me in you. And I don't know, man. Namaste, motherfucker. The light in me acknowledges the light in you. I fucking love what you're doing and I see you. That's all.
Thank you, my friend. Respect the grind, Josh.
I will do. Dong!
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. But when it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me.